Paul in our text this morning tells husbands to love their wives as Christ loves the church. Ephesians 5, 25 through 29 is our text this morning. And as we begin to look at this text, I want to remind you of that overarching context of this portion of the book of Ephesians. Remember, Paul has spoken to us about the body of Christ and how that mystical body of Christ is brought into union with him. So we have Jesus Christ and we have all of those that would be brought into Christ, and that union is one that happens by faith through the grace of Christ. And each one of the individuals that find themselves in that union with Christ have submitted to Christ and begun to walk by faith, begun to walk in that salvation that has been received. Paul tells us that we are to walk as the wise. We're not to walk as the foolish. And then he transitions into that wisdom being living a spirit-filled life. And you remember, we've had several messages on that, what it means to live that spirit-filled life. That spirit-filled life works itself out in our worship and in our gratitude and then in our mutual submission as the body of Christ. We are called to be a community that is in submission to one another. And then from that place in Ephesians, Paul begins to apply that in the life of the individual Christians, or he begins to give application in how that affects all of our lives. And he begins with that, that application in the home. He begins by telling us of that interaction between a husband and a wife and the way that the Christian home is to function under this idea of being spirit-filled within the Christian life. And last week, we looked at the wife because Paul begins there. And this week, we see that Paul calls on husbands to love their wives as Christ has loved the church. Now, what does Paul want us to know about that? What does Paul want us to see as important as we think about the love a husband should have for his wife? You know, last week we talked about submission and wives being in submission and what that looks like. How would Paul counterbalance that by talking to husbands, especially in this overarching call for submission within the spirit-filled home? Well, he begins with the first part of verse 25, and we'll call this a charge to husbands, a charge. And that charge is simply this: husbands, love your wives. Husbands, love your wives. What does that mean? If Paul's charge is for husbands to love their wives, and Paul says that this love is the contrast of what we saw last week in the submission that a wife is called to have, then what is that going to look like? What is that going to look like in the Christian home? Well, we've said that the husband is the head of the wife, and she's called to submit, and this spirit-filled submission is to happen within a marriage. And then is this just Paul, you know, is he just like this misogynist that is like, well, I should probably give some application to the husband. So, you know, guys, love your wives. Love your wives. That'll cover that. Is that what Paul's doing? Is he just looking for something to counterbalance this really heavy submission that he calls the wives to? And we know the answer is no. We know that it's in the context of the Christian home and the Spirit-filled home. And Paul is telling us that on the one hand, in the Spirit-filled home, there is this godly submission of a wife as unto Jesus Christ. But on the other hand, there is a love that is given to the husbands, or this love that is supposed to come from the husbands to their wives. Now, why does he give that charge? Well, it seems that what Paul is doing is he is protecting wives. He's protecting them. You know, to give a command for women to submit to their husbands and then not say something to the husband about the parameters of how that should be used in the Christian home could be dangerous. And what Paul's doing is he is protecting the wife. Paul understands the struggles that husbands and wives have. And that's what he's cutting at. That's where he's going in that application. He's not giving application in the realm of what would be easy for the wife or the realm of what would be easy for the husband. He's giving us application in the realm of where the difficulty lies. Wives, submit to your husbands. And every wife says, well, that's super easy. What else do you have for me? No, this is something that's difficult. And on the flip side, he says, husbands, love your wives. That's something that we are told is going to be difficult even for the husband. And I want to explain that by looking at the word love. You might say, well, you know, Pastor Nathan, what does it say about your marriage if you're saying it's difficult to love your wife? And everyone's like, you know, what's going on there? Well, the answer is found within the word that the apostle uses for love. I'm sure some of you have read C.S. Lewis's work on the four loves, so you're maybe familiar with some of that language that is used concerning love and the way that Scripture uses love. And some of how the Scriptures use the word love is really important for understanding what Paul is telling husbands to do here. You know, the first word that is often used, or would be translated as love, is that word storge. And that's the love that a mother would have for a baby. You know, you think about that special love that a mother has for her baby. It's a tenderness. It's love tenderly. Romans 12 uses that word where the apostle says to be loving towards one another in the context of the church. Have a tenderness towards one another. But that's not the word Paul uses here. When he says to love your wives, he doesn't say, husbands, be tender with your wives, although he would want us to be tender with our wives. We also know that the word love, the Greek word eros, can be used to translate as love. And eros is that erotic love. That erotic love, sensual and pleasureful love that a husband and wife has in their experience of what the Puritans would call conjugal duties. A love for your wife in eros. And Paul doesn't say, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. And he doesn't use that word. He doesn't use storge, doesn't use that tenderness, doesn't use eros, doesn't use this idea of erotic love. Maybe something else. The word that we have for philia, that word for, you know, Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love, that is funny if you've ever been to Philadelphia. That word meaning the love between friends, the love that David and Jonathan shared, a love that the world looks at and says, I don't understand this love. But it's a love, it's friendly love. You can think of the word philanthropy as an example of that, loving humanity and giving to humanity in that friendly way. But that's not the word Paul used. He doesn't say, husbands, be friends with your wives. Be buddies with your wives in that way. He uses the word agape, that highest form of sacrificial and God-centered love, to love dearly and to cherish in that same way that God loves dearly and cherishes the things that are important to Him. And I want you to think about that. I want you to consider that, especially if maybe you've been visiting over a couple of weeks, and last week you heard a sermon on submission, and you thought, well, this is suspect. Why are we hearing sermons on submission of wives? And you hear that and you think, well, that's heavy and that's something that is old-fashioned. And here the contrast is that husbands are called to love their wives. And you may hear that as the Apostle Paul and then Pastor Nathan being easy on the husbands. But I want you to acknowledge that the problem here is that husbands have no problems with eros as the way they're going to love their wives. And they have no problem with the love that they would have for a friend towards their wives. I hope that you're friendly towards your wife. I hope you enjoy being around your wife and doing things with your wife, singular. And I'm sure that there is tenderness towards your wife, and if there's not, there ought to be. But what Paul does here is he says to husbands to love your wife the way that God loves the things He loves. And men, I want you to see the impossibility of this. The impossibility. Now, that does that mean that you don't try? No, it means that you are resting in the strength of Jesus Christ to do that which is impossible. And I want to also acknowledge that where Paul is going here puts a huge stop in relationships where that Paul elsewhere would call being unequally yoked. There's no possible way for a man who has not been converted unto Christ to love his wife the way Paul calls on a husband to love his wife. It's impossible. 100%. Will husbands love their wives with the love that God has showered upon you, with that grace and that mercy and that salvation that is in Christ? To love this love that husbands are called to love with goes beyond that which is natural. Like, it's natural to be friendly, it's natural to be tenderly, it's natural to have erotic love towards somebody that you're with and attracted to in that way. But Paul here says that husbands are called to have a supernatural love. That's why it's under this umbrella of living the Spirit-filled life. This is not a message that could be given to the world, because it's impossible. A husband is unable to fulfill this Spirit-filled love if he is not in Christ. And Paul here says, husbands, love your wives. And that's a charge. That's an important charge. But I want you to see that there's more than just a charge in this text. There's also a challenge. Secondly, we see a challenge to husbands as well. It's not just love in this way that I've described. Verse 25, the second half, says, love as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. That's the challenge. Last time we talked about submission and how the wife represents the way that the church responds to Jesus Christ. And as Christians, we live for Christ, don't we? Wives are called to live for their husbands in a reflection of that. But I want you to see that the challenge here is that the love of the husband is a love that has a single eye towards his wife alone, and a life where the husband is willing to die. That sort of love. And that begins with husbands loving their wives exclusively. You are to only have an eye for your wife. And that is a huge application, and maybe even an elephant in the room if we would look at statistics. The elephant in the room is that most men, including Christian husbands, do not have a single eye for their wife. They also have an eye for things they find online, and some in other ways. And Paul says, you love your wife as Christ loved the church. It's an exclusive love. Jesus doesn't love the church and the world in the same way, does he? There's a general love for the world as Christ desires that repentance would occur, and there's a love that the Creator has towards the creation. But that single eye love is to the church, and it's exclusive. Charles Hodge once said, the relationship between Christ and the church is not only exclusive, but the union between Christ and His church is more intimate than any which subsists between Him and any other order of creatures. We are flesh of His flesh and bone of His bone. The church is the special object of the delight of Christ. And that means that Paul would say, husbands, if you're seeing another woman as the special object of your delight, you are failing in what God is calling you to do here as a man of God and as a Christian. It is exclusive. And at the same time, we have to understand that this call to love as Christ loves the church, it changes leadership in the home. It's not just exclusive, it gives us direction on how leadership in the home is to occur. There's often extremes where on the one hand, the wife is seen as maybe the chief servant, cook, cleaner, childcare provider, and that's sort of the view, like, well, I'm the leader of the home, you do these things. You take care of all this stuff. We're called to love as Christ loves and to lead as Christ loves leads. We're called to love as good shepherds, leading in that which is nourishing and wholesome and good, leading into communion, into blessing with the truth. You remember that last time I said that there is a teaching element here. And the teaching element is teaching us something of that relationship between Christ and His bride. Is Christ a tyrant over us? I mean, last week when you sinned, did God strike you dead? No, He tenderly cared for you. The Lord Jesus loves His church, and He loves her enough to be patient and to be kind and to be long-suffering with His wife. And I know that as those that have experienced the love of God in Christ, that you are able to bring your sin and your failures before Christ and trust that you will be cared for by Christ, that He will deal with you tenderly. So again, we're thinking of this idea of leadership. There's this one extreme of tyranny, and the other extreme is what I would call the yes men. The yes men will just do whatever the wife says because you don't want to rock the boat. You don't want to get in trouble. The bottom line is, if you're a yes man, you are afraid of your wife. And Christ doesn't lead in that way either. It's not tyranny, and it's not backboneless pushover. And we need to learn this. We need to learn this lesson of how Christ loves the church. And how Paul would have us to see it here is that Christ dies for her. He says, "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her." Christ died that His bride may live. Husbands, could you ever do this for your wife? You know, there may be an opportunity, you know, take a bullet or something like that. And that's a real thing. But what Paul here calls on husbands to do is to give up your life, to lay down your life for the one that you have called your wife. And ladies, you thought submission was hard. Paul here says you are to die to self. I don't know many husbands, or maybe even any husbands, that have literally done this, but the application is, what in your life are you holding dear as part of your life that is something that's just yours? You know, you say, I'm married, but this is mine. You know, maybe there's like an obsession with the alleged man cave. And you say, my wife can have everything in my life, but this is mine. Paul says we're called into a community that is called a Spirit-filled community. And husbands, as you voluntarily marry, you marry into that, to give up your life that the people of God may be served, and your wife may be loved in this certain way. And the challenge that Paul would put before you is a challenge to love as Christ loved, exclusively, as well as reflecting that leadership that Paul calls on husbands to have. But I want to share one more thing. And thirdly, we see that Paul does not leave us without help in accomplishing this in our lives. In verses 26 through 28, he gives help, and we could call this the channel for husbands. He says that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church. So we have this call for husbands to do this. You know, love your wives. Love your wife as Christ loved the church. The challenge there, as he loves the church, you're to lead in this way. You're to have exclusivity in this way. You're to think about it from this way. And you come and you say, Pastor Nathan, where do I go to find out how to do this? You know, do we go to I Love Lucy, to a time that is far gone, and say, well, that must be how a husband loves his wife? Or do we go to Psychology Today? Or do we go to Reader's Digest? Or do we go to Men's Health Magazine? Where are you going to figure out how to love your wife? Friends, you go to the Word of God. And you ask yourself, who is able? Who is able? Who is able to love in this way? Who is even among us? Who here in this room wants to stand up? Men, who is going to stand up and say, I have loved my wife in this way and I have not failed? You can stand. Who among us is able? In the mind of Paul, we do this through the washing of the Word. Through the washing of the Word. It is with the mind of presenting your wife in splendor before God, with that same care that you would put into your own life. And Paul says it's done through the washing of the Word. You might go image-wise to baptism, that which signifies the cleansing of sin and that mystical union that we have between Christ and the church. But we have to understand that even baptism and that language of washing that comes from baptism, it's only because it's a subset of the Word of God. It's not baptism that Paul is pointing us to. It's the Scriptures that Paul is pointing us to. Paul does not here want us to look to anything other than God's Word as that which is going to be that channel for the care that God requires for a Christian wife, towards a Christian wife. Again, you could go to so many things. You could go to Psychology Today. You could go to whatever the trending streaming show is on Netflix. You can go to romance novels. You can listen to social media. It's all going to be telling you of the way that this is to be done. But what Paul does is he, just like we went to the scriptures for our definition of love. He calls us to go to the Word of God for that instruction as to what love looks like. Friends, do you look to the scriptures to define those things? Do you look to the scriptures for that way to practically love, or to see your responsibility as a husband, or to see the way that you are to protect your wife, or to see the way that you are to cherish your wife, to see the way that you are to lead in godliness and to lead in showing truth? Paul drives us back to the Word. Because we could go around, we could go on Lake Eola, every one of us, after the benediction, we're all going to Lake Eola, we're interviewing every person right now at Lake Eola Park, and the question is going to be, what does it mean to love your wife? We're going to get 1,000 answers, contradicting different answers. And Paul here says that it is through the cleansing that comes from the Word of God. And it's a beautiful, tender image because it is that of a caretaker, isn't it? This is not a fire hose where you turn the Word of God on your wife and you hose her down until she gives up and does what you say. There's a tenderness of cleansing and of washing that is here mentioned. You can think of a loving caretaker washing one who is in need. If you've ever cared for an elderly parent or grandparent and you've had to wash that person, you know exactly the image that Paul is using here. Cleansing with the Word, using the Word of God to spur on towards holiness and towards eternity. In congregation, there's an application that is just standing out so much in my mind that needs to be given here. And the application is how important family worship is in your home. How important is it to open the Word of God with your wife and with your children, and to read the scriptures together, and to pray together, and to use the Word of God for that life-changing thing in your home? And men, there may be some here that are not doing that, that are not opening the scriptures with your wife and opening the scriptures with your children. And the responsibility of that, men, if your household is, you know, what we would call a traditional household with husband, wife, children, that responsibility to open the Word of God, men, falls on you. Open the scriptures. You cannot be cleansing without the Word of God opened in your home. And I don't think that we can stress that enough. Paul says, love your wife as Christ loved the church. Wash her with the Word. Is the Word being opened at home? And are you opening it? I know lots and lots of wives that read the Bible and read Scripture with their children. But men, are you opening the Word? Are you reading it at home? Are you demonstrating this in your home? And I don't mean that in a scolding way, but I'm just saying that you are unable to fulfill the basic of what Christian marriage is if the Word of God is not opened in your home. And I say that because I love you, not because I don't. Open the Word of God. You are unable to cleanse with the washing of the Word unless the scriptures are open. A church centered on the Word of God and the teaching of the Word of God, and when the homes are filled with the Word of God, that is a beautiful thing. And that should be our desire as the church. A church centered on the Word is being made holy. And the same is true for wives as well in the mind of the apostle. He's not saying that wives don't have a responsibility to open the Word, or that women don't have a responsibility to open the Word. He's cutting an application sharply here. It doesn't mean that, you know, these things are unnecessary. He's saying these things are necessary. Women are insightful. Women have insights into life that we men really have no clue about at times. And I think that you will know that if your marriage is healthy. Sometimes a woman will be able to say, here's a problem, and the men not even realize that's a problem. I've seen marriages that have gone bad where, you know, you have a marriage that eventually falls apart, and maybe some of the women in the congregation say, you know, we knew that something wasn't right because she didn't look right. Like, a guy wouldn't see that. That insight. And Paul says here that when the Word is central, that your wife will be beautiful. There's a beauty about the centrality of the Word of God as it's reflected in a home and as it's reflected in the church. Paul says that she will be without spot or wrinkle. And he makes that connection. He connects it back to this image of the husband and wife in the Old Testament and God towards the church. She's presented in this way. And Paul says, at the same time, as you care for yourself, care for her in that way. Love your wife as yourself. The husband's love, a charge to love your wife, a challenge to love your wife as Christ loved the church, both exclusively and sacrificially, and a channel. How do we do this? It's the Word of God. The Word of God is central. And you might ask, well, Pastor Nathan, what about those of us that aren't married? Well, Paul says, I'm talking about Christ in the church. Like, the application's there, isn't it? Paul is driving us to see that love that Jesus has for his bride. And the way he uses the Word to sanctify you and me. Friends, the application is there for all of us. When you leave this room, don't say, you know, Pastor Nathan, he's really hard on the men today. No, Pastor Nathan wants you to see Jesus. He wants you to love the Word of God and the gospel that Jesus dies for sinners and then he makes those sinners holy through his Word. A husband over his bride, loving her in a way that she might live. Amen. Father, we thank you for your Word. We thank you for the beauty of the Scriptures. And we pray that we would reflect that which the Word of God calls us to do, unto your glory. Amen.